It's probably no surprise that nearly 70 million Americans receive Social Security benefits. But what you may not realize is that millions of them are still working. It's true, you can receive retirement benefits without actually retiring. And for those people, big changes may be coming. Kingdom Advisors President Rob West has the details, and it's your calls at 800-525-7000. Jot that down, 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Social Security changes for workers next on MoneyWise Live. So, Rob, you have information that concerns folks receiving Social Security benefits but who are still working and folks who expect to in the near future. Is that right?
That's right, Steve. And we should say these are expected changes, but not all of them are carved in stone just yet.
Okay, that's good to know. All right, so what do you think we can expect?
Well, the first expectation is a change in what's called retirement earnings test exemption limits. That's a long name for a simple concept, how much you can earn without having your Social Security benefits reduced. In 2020, if you weren't at full retirement age but elected to start receiving benefits, you were allowed to earn up to $18,240 before benefit reductions kicked in. If you made more than that, for every $2 you earned, $1 was withheld from your benefits. Here's what the change comes in at, and it's a slight improvement. If you elect to receive benefits in 2021 but haven't reached full retirement age, you'll be allowed to earn up to $18,960 without having your benefits reduced.
Okay, well, that's an improvement. Not much, but still an improvement. Why do you suppose the SSA penalizes you for continuing to work?
Yeah, I think the obvious answer is to discourage folks from taking their benefits early in the years between 62 and full retirement age, which is now 66 or 67. But we should point out that you don't permanently lose the money taken from your benefits. It's reimbursed to you over time in the form of higher benefits after you reach full retirement age.
All right. Good to know. What about folks who do wait until their full retirement age?
Well, that's actually where it gets a little trickier, but this is for a fairly small number of people. Let's say you elect to start receiving benefits in 2021, but you won't reach full retirement age until sometime later in the year. Well, you'll be allowed to earn up to $50,520 before your benefits are reduced. That's about a $1,000 increase. Then for every $3 you earn above that amount, your benefits are reduced by a dollar. But again, only temporarily. You'll recoup those losses later.
Okay, but let's say I wait until full retirement age before receiving benefits. Any changes there?
Thankfully, no. Once you reach full retirement age but continue to work, the earnings test no longer applies, and you can earn any amount without having your benefits reduced.
Okay. All right. Well, so far, this is all good news. So why do I feel like another shoe is about to drop?
Well, you're right. It's not all good news. If you recall, as a part of the coronavirus relief effort, President Trump signed an executive order earlier this year temporarily deferring Social Security or FICA taxes from September 1st to December 31st. That's a tax of 12.4% on payrolls, roughly half of which is paid by employers, the other half by workers. Well, with that tax deferred, most workers essentially got a raise. But the key word here is deferred. Without Congress, that's all the president could do, temporarily defer the tax, essentially just kicking it down the road.
All right. So this is where the other shoe drops?
That's right. Now, not all states and businesses opted to take the tax deferral, but an awful lot did, and millions of Americans received that temporary raise. So in 2021, two things will happen, Steve. First, the deferment ends, so the 12.4% FICA tax will once again be taken from paychecks. But that's not all. The deferred tax during those 4 months will have to be repaid into the system. It's not clear how the Social Security system will do that, and it will probably be taken back incrementally over time, not in a lump sum. But at least as the law stands now, it will have to be repaid.
So workers can expect their take-home pay to actually be reduced in 2021. Is that what you're saying?
Yes, back down to the amount they received before September 1st, plus any additional temporary reduction until the deferred taxes are repaid. That may come as a shock to many workers, but it will be even tougher on folks who are still working and receiving benefits, relying on both to make ends meet. So in the months ahead, look for ways to cut spending a bit so you can stay on budget and not have to tap into your savings.
Great advice. Thanks, Rob. Your call's next on any topic at all financial, 800-525-7000.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. Soundmindinvesting.org.
Okay, two raisins, one cracker, and a single almond.
Yep, that's my food pantry.
All of it?
We laugh, but sometimes Christians feed themselves spiritually the same way.
Sparks.
Why not take in something healthy? Today in the Word is a daily dose of Scripture and application, a fresh topic or book of the Bible every month. Plus, it's available in three flavors, print, podcast, or email, all free. Make the healthier choice at todayintheword.org.
It's been a hectic day, and your head finally rests on the pillow, but your brain won't quit racing as you think of the future. Or maybe your mind is consumed with anxiously thinking of the past.
Yes.
In his new book, Practicing the Present, Dr. John Kessler helps readers focus on the here and now. You'll learn how to be present. Understand how to simply trust God as He meets you right where you are. Practicing the Present at moodypublishers.com.
Many people are experiencing financial challenges, such as credit card debt, downsizing, dead-end jobs, and depleted savings. In fact, more than half of all divorces are the result of financial pressures at home. But there's hope. In Your Money Counts, biblical financial expert Howard Dayton shows that the Bible is a veritable blueprint for managing your finances, and you'll discover the profound impact it has on your relationship with God. Your Money Counts is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Really happy to have you aboard today. It's MoneyWise Live, or as Chris Fabry often refers to us, the MoneyWise guys. If we can help you, whether it's giving, saving, investing, generosity, buying, selling, live or artificial, give us a call. We'll kick it around 800-525-7000. Well, as long as we're there, Rob, in the Rob West household, is it live or artificial, sir?
Oh, tree? Oh, always live. Yeah, that's a big deal for us. You know, even though you have the needles dropping, you just can't get past. I mean, it just smells amazing.
Oh, yeah, it does.
And always a Fraser fir in the West household.
If at all possible. I like that. Fraser
fir. Based on the hand signals, looks like producer Jim agrees.
Jim is a Fraser guy. You can tell by looking at him. Or maybe just needs to shave. I don't know. Yeah. But... nonetheless, 800-525-7000. Let us know what your tree choice is if you care to. Chattanooga, Tennessee. Tito, thanks for holding, my friend. What's on your mind today?
Yes, thank you for taking my call. Sure. I was just perusing radio station. I heard your comment about Social Security, and I am currently 65 and still working, and I was planning on working to 65 and then tapping in Social Security. Would that be a wise move?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, if you have the option to continue to work, I'd work as long as you can, and unless the Lord redirects you somewhere else, because, you know, if you wait until full retirement age, 66 or 67, you're going to get the full retirement benefit. Then every year, Tito, beyond full retirement age, you're going to get an increase in that check of 8% all the way up to age 70. And some folks ask, well, what about the money I'm giving up while I'm not collecting a check? And obviously, if you're in good health, keep in mind, life expectancy when you reach age 65 increases to 83 and 84 for women and men, respectively. And so, you know, if time is on your side, the Lord tarries, eventually you'll recoup what you gave up without collecting through the higher check amount. And then at some point you'll be made whole, and then you'll enjoy that higher check for the rest of your life. So I think it really just comes down to, do you need the money? What does God have for you in this season? Can you continue to work? And if so, does it make sense to go ahead and delay it and then collect that higher check moving forward?
Okay, perfect. Thank you so much for taking my call, and God bless you guys.
Well, thanks listening, Tito, and calling in today. Yeah, we appreciate it.
Hey, Tito, I've got to say this. I don't have to say it. I probably shouldn't say it, but you sound like you're 25, not 65. So,
I get that all the time.
Do you really?
I get it all the time. And
is there something special in your diet, Tito? Is it what is it you eat or drink or don't that keeps you so young and vibrant?
Is it grapefruit juice? Is that what it is? I've heard there's something about grapefruit juice.
Really?
Well, you know, it's funny because people don't believe I'm 65 when I tell them that, and I talk on the phone, same thing. And so I play a lot of racquetball. Clean living, you know, staying in God's word, staying close to him.
Like,
and of course, you know, reading, staying healthy as far as my diet and just you know, life.
There you go.
All right, Tito, at this point, you're starting to make us feel bad about ourselves. So we're going to let you go.
I'm sorry.
All right.
I'm so sorry.
We love you, buddy. We're glad you called. Thanks very much. He did sound young, didn't he?
He did. You're absolutely right.
I thought he was
probably
calling one.
Wouldn't have said anything, but, you know, I'm glad you did, actually.
I think he wants to date your daughter or something. I don't know. 800-525-7000, Grandview, Missouri. Hello, John. What's your question for Rob West? Whoops.
Okay. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I'm almost 74. Still working full time, so I know my Social Security is not going to be reduced, but is there a point to where I'm making too much money and my Social Security is going to be taxed? Should I be looking at that and maybe cut back to part-time or just earn as much money as I can and let the chips fall where they may?
Yeah, you know, I mean, taxes are symptomatic of provision, right? So I'd be grateful for the opportunity that you have to continue to work and earn as much as you can and pay the taxes appropriately. You will be taxed on 50% of your benefits if your income is between, I think, $25,000 and $34,000 for an individual and $32,000 to $44,000 for a married couple. And then it goes up from there upwards of 85% when you get, you know, beyond that. But again, if you've got something you're doing that you really enjoy and the Lord has obviously given you the health to be able to do that, I would say earn as much as you can and pay the appropriate taxes and give generously and then ask the Lord what he would have you to do with the rest.
Okay. I've got the giving part taken care of. Let me make sure I understand this correctly. Between 25 and 34, that's kind of the range I'm falling into. So 50% of my Social Security will be taxed at, I'm not quite sure what rate.
Yeah, it would just depend on what rate it falls into based on how much you're earning. So I would check with your CPA or tax preparer just to see for your specific situation. But based on that level, I would expect up to 50% of your benefits to be treated as income. And then, you know, as you put all of your income together, it would fall into various tax brackets as, you know, you move up the pike. It's going to be on the lower end, given the numbers you're describing, but there will be some taxes due. You just don't want to make sure that's not a surprise to you.
John, we appreciate your phone call today, sir. Thank you very much. Sounds like you're really heading and moving in the right direction. Rob, before the break, I think we have enough time for you to tell folks about the brand new MoneyWise app. It's my understanding it continues to fly off the shelves, if we had any shelves.
The digital shelves, yes.
Yeah, right.
Well, we're delighted about it, Steve. I'm glad you asked. It's the brand new MoneyWise app. We spent 8 months, our team here at MoneyWise Media, 3 full-time developers, building what I believe is the very best digital envelope system out there. You can connect all of your institutions, download your transactions. They automatically get filed in your various envelopes, which you would set up yourself to mirror your spending plan. And, you know, the envelope system that Larry Burkett and so many others have talked about for so many years, I think, is the most effective way to manage your money, manage your cash flow and your spending on a monthly basis. Well, this puts it all in the palm of your hand with a digital approach, and you can download it in the Apple App Store and the Google Play Store. And by the way, in addition to the digital envelope system, there's all of the MoneyWise episodes and our MoneyWise app community, which is where you can interact with others. I'll be in there periodically answering your questions. You can share ideas with each other. So check it out today. There's no cost to download it. You can find it again in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance.
All right. Sounds great. You're listening to MoneyWise Live, where we're taking your calls today on any financial topic. So anything you might be wondering about, dealing with, let's kick it around. Let's talk about it. Let's see what God's Word has to say about it. We can do that when you dial 800-525-7000. Open lines, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Have you ever taken a wrong turn when it comes to money? We all have. And while you can't undo past mistakes, you can steer clear of the financial potholes ahead. This month's issue of the MoneyWise e-magazine is all about helping you make MoneyWise decisions, with exclusive podcasts and articles to steer you in the right direction. Your free e-magazine subscription is waiting for you right now at moneywise.org/signup.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
I want you to hear a quote out of the Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. It is a fascinating book. And I want to read you a particular quote about Babylon the Great. Now, Babylon the Great is referring then to Revelation. In the full revelation of all things, we see what began in that root form all the way back in Genesis chapter 11, now in its full culmination of Babylon the Great in the book of Revelation. And this is what the quote says out of Dictionary of Biblical Imagery. "Babylon the Great represents human political, economic, and religious systems devoted to crass materialism and ungodly living in defiance of the holiness and sovereignty of God. Babylon the Great represents human political, economic, and religious systems devoted to crass materialism and ungodly living in defiance of the holiness and sovereignty of God." In other words, this whole prevailing concept of Babylon can permeate into any system in the world system. We can find it in religious life. We can find it in political life. We can find it in economic life. So it's the whole concept of an arrogance against a holy and a sovereign God. It's man saying he is God and he is in control. And it is that system, it's that push, it's that drive, it's the darkness that comes in behind it and motivates it.
Beth is dedicated to encouraging people to come to know and love Jesus Christ through the study of Scripture. Why wait? Click online today. Pick a podcast or television teaching or both. Just visit BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org, or download the Living Proof app. Glad you could join us for a quick word with Beth Moore.
Welcome back to Money Wise. Yes, indeed, we're sort of, kind of celebrating Christmas as it moves closer and closer into our calendars. We hope you are as well, and we hope that you have most of your Christmas shopping done, or at least started by now. If you haven't, this would be a good time to start, but not until today's program comes to an end. So stay with us for the remainder of the hour, if you don't mind. MoneyWise Live, a place where God's wisdom for your finances is paramount, and if we can help you with that, feel free to give us a call. 800-525-7000, Indianapolis, Indiana. Hello, Steve. How can we help you today?
Hello. Yeah. Hey, can you hear me okay?
We sure can. Mm-hmm. Get a little closer if you can.
Good.
All right.
All righty. Let me get off of this.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway.
Sounds like that's even better, Steve. We got you loud and clear. Go right ahead.
Go ahead, buddy.
Here I am. I just got off. I got onto the phone.
Steve, I think we don't have you.
I'm here.
You'll have to go right ahead, or we'll have to move to another line, Steve.
Okay. Yeah.
Maybe turn your radio down, Steve.
Okay, yes. There we go. I'll turn it down. Can you hear me now?
Yep. Go right ahead.
Excellent. Okay, my wife and I both have retirement day funds with Vanguard. We went from 2035 to 2030 recently because, you know, we were getting closer, like 10 years away from retirement.
Yeah.
And with conventional wisdom, you're supposed to stay the course. But with all that's going on, and not to get into, you know, with everything, but with COVID, what's happened and with states maybe being in more debt and everything that's going on and looking at possibly a recession coming, we just didn't want to see, with only 10 years left in a retirement, to see our funds take a dive and then take a while to recover. So basically I pulled the trigger today and put them all in money markets or in guaranteed interest funds, hoping for a correction and then get back in. So I know I'm going against conventional wisdom, so yeah. I just would, check with you guys about what your thoughts are on that.
Yeah, you know, I can understand the concern, and Steve, unfortunately, that's not the approach I would have taken, though, and not that it's, too late. Obviously, anytime you're in a retirement account, you don't have the tax consequences that you would normally have when you're making these kinds of changes. But, trying to time the market is just a losing proposition. Given the fact that you're in a 2030 fund, meaning a fund that's really geared toward retirement in 2030, which is, in effect 9 years away, you are already in a well-diversified portfolio that was increasingly decreasing stock exposure and increasing bond exposure to become more and more conservative as the target date approaches. But keep in mind, you still have quite a while here, nearly 10 years before retirement. The other thing to consider is, when you reach retirement age, let's say that's 10 years from now, and you begin converting these retirement assets into an income stream, you need to have them last for decades. It's not like you're going to use all the money on one day at retirement. And so, having a long view, even when you're 10 years or less from retirement, is still appropriate. Some people, try to convert that to an income stream of, let's say, 4%. That would be conventional wisdom, where you would supplement what other income sources you have, Social Security and pensions, that kind of thing. But you would try to have some sort of growth component to the portfolio, maybe 30 or 40%, so that you wouldn't have to touch it in periods where the market is down. But in the good years, which, again, when you're looking over 10-year periods, the market pretty much always performs pretty well, then that adds a bit of a growth kicker that allows you to get a return better than you would get if you were in straight fixed income or straight CDs or straight bonds. so that over the long haul, you kind of, you know, add a little bit more return to the overall strategy. So, you know, there's always uncertainty. I mean, this year it's looked like a pandemic, and in prior years it's looked like a financial crisis and a gas crisis and oil embargoes. And I mean, we could go through history, and every decade has its own tumultuous, you know, crisis, if you will. But that doesn't change the fact that if we go back over the last 100 years and say what has been the very best place to build wealth, not trying to pick the top and the bottom or the, you know, the periods where it's going to go down or it's going to go up, but just staying in over the long haul, the very best place to build wealth with a diversified, appropriate investment strategy is the stock and bond market. And so I think as long as you're in that target date fund or you're giving consideration to your retirement age in your investment allocation, then conventional wisdom and history and science and all of the research says stay the course. When you try to pick when the market is going to go down and then when you try to enter because you think the market is going to go up, it just doesn't work. I mean, that's what the data says. So I prayerfully consider, I mean, it's your money, you're the steward of God's money, so you've got to make this decision. I'm not trying to make you feel bad about it, I'm just giving you my perspective. I'd prayerfully consider perhaps getting back in and doing it in a way, again, that has an appropriate allocation for your age and risk tolerance, and then stay the course. Because again, once you reach retirement, you're still going to need this money to be working for you for decades, if the Lord tarries and you have good health.
You know, Rob, to evidence that, if I'm asking the right question in the right way, if I would have asked you, Rob, 5 or 6 years ago, listen, Rob, if a global pandemic ever came around, the bottom would drop out of the market completely, right? I mean, so I should probably do something with my money because, I mean, we're talking about a global pandemic. And just about every country in the world, everything would go right through the floor, right? And you might have said,
I'd say, it probably would temporarily, and it did, right? Remember, we had the fastest bear market in history, down 30% plus in just a very short period of time. But then it came roaring back, and those people who at that point said, well, you know what? This is never coming back, and it's going to get a lot worse before it gets better. Well, they missed the fastest rise to a bull market in history as well. So, yeah, it's always better to stay the course so long as you're not taking an inordinate amount of risk and your investment strategy is appropriate for your age and objectives.
Yeah, and if you've made what you think may be an incorrect move, as long as you were trying to find God's will and God's plan for your life, don't worry about it. You know, God's not going to be mad with you. He's capable of bringing your money back to wherever it needs to be. After all, God says, have your faith and your trust in me, and I will meet your needs. And that's where we put our faith. This is MoneyWise Live, 800-525-7000. Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
How do you reach people who call themselves Christian but don't know Jesus? Find out by reading The Unsaved Christian. Dean Ancera was a cultural Christian. Today, he pastors a thriving church, and he wrote this book to offer starting points that lead to deeper conversations. You'll be equipped to confront cultural Christianity and lovingly share the gospel to the cultural Christians in your life. Cultural Christianity is a huge mission field in desperate need of missionaries. Get your copy of The Unsaved Christian at moodypublishers.com.
If you're feeling that it's time to make a change in where you work, maybe you should investigate the possibility of a position with Moody Bible Institute. Moody Bible Institute is looking to fill a number of full and part-time positions in education at Moody Publishers and Moody Radio. You'll find positions in management, clerical, professional, and non-skilled labor. It may be worth your time to take a look at the more than 40 position openings available now. You'll find each job description online at moodyjobs.org. That's moodyjobs.org.
Siri, I need some help.
What's up?
Well, sometimes I feel like I can't get a handle on my money. I mean, where does it all go?
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you plan your budget and track your spending.
Oh.
Like the $3 you spend every morning on coffee.
Well, not every morning.
You'll also get access to free biblical financial advice.
Sounds awesome. Let's do it.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has acknowledged for the first time that Joe Biden has been elected president. McConnell made his remarks on the Senate floor today, a day after the Electoral College affirmed Biden's victory. This comes after state and federal courts around the country have rejected cases filed by President Trump alleging fraud. Hundreds more U.S. hospitals gearing up to vaccinate their workers, and federal health officials are reviewing a second COVID-19 shot. About 400 hospitals and other healthcare facilities will be getting their first shipments of the Pfizer vaccine today. Stocks closing broadly higher on Wall Street, breaking a four-day losing streak for the S&P 500. A measure of small company stocks hit a record high, as did the NASDAQ Composite. The NASDAQ up 155 points today. The Dow gained 337. This is SRN News.
An honor and a pleasure to have you listening today, and we'd love to have you dialing today, 800-525-7000, Chicago, Illinois. Hello, B. What's your question for Rob West?
Hi. I was wondering if American Express is a good online savings.
It's consistently listed, B, as one of the best high-yield online savings accounts. I check periodically Nerd Wallet, kind of a silly name, but a very helpful website, nerdwallet.com. That's one of the sites that ranks these particular savings entities online. Another would be bankrate.com. But American Express typically ranks up among the highest. I believe right now they're offering about 0.6%, so a little more than half of a percent on their savings balances, no fees or minimum balances, which is always a good thing. And that's slightly higher than typical. You know, with a lot of the online banks right now, they're down at 0.5%, so half a point. So I wouldn't have any problem with that. The only downside, my understanding, is there's no mobile app to manage your savings account. So if that's important to you, you'd want to check that. But that may actually be a plus by making it just slightly more difficult to get access to your funds. But clearly you can link it up to your checking account, move money back and forth on their website. But yeah, I wouldn't have any problem with Amex B. I think the key is look for some place that, again, you're not going to pay any fees, no minimums, and they're going to give you a little better rate of interest than you'd get from a brick and mortar bank.
B, thank you very much. New Galilee, Pennsylvania. Nadine, where is New Galilee, Pennsylvania?
We are about 40 miles north of Pittsburgh.
Oh, wow. Well, I've driven through that area a few times. I've never seen it, but how very biblical. How can we help you today?
Yes. Oh, well, thank you for taking my call. Merry Christmas.
Thank you.
I asked my husband this question, and I didn't like his answer, so I'm hoping that I'll like yours better. I'm 59 years old. I am a nurse, but I'm a nurse who has a desk job for the last 15 years, and it has wrecked my body. I have a lot of postural issues, so spine, neck, everything. So I kind of wanted to get a job the last, maybe when I'm 62. Look for a job that enables me to get up and move around a little bit the last couple of years of working. But I wasn't sure how that would play into ultimately my benefit for retirement, because I will make a lot less money. I can't make what I'm making now without being a nurse or doing some sort of nursing. I've been out of the clinic long enough that I don't feel like I'd be qualified to go back, although I'd be able to walk around at the hospital. I don't feel like my skills are up to par for that.
Yeah. Well, let me take a shot at it. We'll see if I can do better than your husband. A couple of thoughts, Nadine. Number one is, yes, there's the financial side of this, but then there's the non-financial side as well, which is the impact on you physically and otherwise in terms of staying in this job. So let's start with the financial side. I mean, yeah, it's certainly true that, if you recognize that your Social Security is based on your highest 30 years of earnings, typically what happens is, toward the end of your working years, you're earning, the top end of what your compensation has been throughout the rest of your life. And therefore, you're replacing some of those, earlier years when you made less. And so the extent to which your income drops, that means you're no longer kind of offsetting some of those lower years with higher paying years, because in the final years of your working life, you don't have that maximum income that's there. But it would be interesting for you to reach out to the Social Security Administration just to find out how much impact that would make, because you may decide that because of the non-financial side of this equation, the impact on you physically and emotionally and otherwise, the impact is minimal enough that you say it's not worth it. And so they could very easily, and they're doing virtual meetings right now, they could very easily take your estimated income and your kind of replacement job, if you will, plug that in to basically what you've earned to this point and run that calculator out and tell you what the impact would be in terms of your monthly benefit. And again, you may decide that it's just negligible and you'd like to go ahead and make a change. I think the other thing worth exploring, and this may not be an option, you've probably already looked into this if it's possible at all, but I would just say, is there some other scenario where you're not stuck, in that seated position? For instance, a lot of companies are allowing for standing desks. Have you asked whether you could have a standing desk, perhaps with a, therapeutic pad under your feet where, perhaps you're able to move around and, still get the work done right there in the same space that they have for you? I just throw that out as one option if you haven't considered it. But at the end of the day, on the financial side, I think the rest you and your husband need to just talk and pray through. On the financial side, I'd reach out to SSA to see what impact it would make and just see if that's enough for you to stay put for these remaining working years.
Mm. Nadine, it's no fun to be in pain, particularly if we're talking about 5 years, and if it might lead to even further pain, beyond that. It's not something you want to risk. So where do we fall as far as what we're saying and what your husband is suggesting? All right, never mind. Nadine.
No, I think if I could assure him, the finances are important, and so is my health, and of course that ultimately is his priority as well. But it's nice, and especially nowadays with the COVID, I was already seated, if you will, pardon the pun, in a very good position to have a pandemic. I did not have to rearrange my schedule. I am home all the time. I am remote. These are things he says. This is cost efficient. No second car, no gas, no insurance, and all that. No lunches at the cafeteria.
I'll tell you, Nadine, I work from a standing desk and it's amazing. I wouldn't trade it. And you can even get one of those desks that have one of those treadmills attached to them where you can walk while you work. So, wow, maybe there's a happy middle here. But anyway, we appreciate your call. You can send the spice cake right on over, since it sounds like we gave the better answer.
Walk while you work, which is why Rob often sounds out of breath doing this program. Yeah. He's 12 miles away and getting further away as we speak, as a matter of fact. Nadine, nice to have you with us today. Thanks. Knoxville, Tennessee. Becky, we're almost out of time. I'll tell you what, Becky, we'll come back and chat a little bit after the break, because we have to pause here and hit a station break, what's called a hard break. We could go back to Rob for a second and talk about this standing thing you do. Now, is that something you feel that God wants you to do, Rob? I mean, you know.
I know the Lord doesn't want my back to be in pain. So, yeah, I think so. But, yeah, no, I think the trend toward really thinking about, you know, what is your work environment, you know, standing right. desk and staying on the move. You know, a lot of people working remotely and there being a work remote option from a lot of companies now. Even just the trend toward office environments that allow people to move around. You know, when we built out our new office, we did it in a way that has huddle spaces where people can gather in community, private offices. We have a little coffee area. So, you know, being able to move around is a big deal. And doing God's work and pain-free is also important.
All right, I'm on my way. I want to come up on Tuesday. I know that's when you huddle, and I want to be there for that. We'll be right back.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
Buying a home is the largest, most nerve-wracking purchase most of us ever make. It doesn't help that you're entering a maze of unfamiliar words and confusing options that can leave you intimidated, frustrated, and afraid you've been taken advantage of. Navigating the Mortgage Maze by Dale Vermillion helps you clear up the confusion, unrack your nerves, and make the best mortgage decisions possible with confidence. Navigating the Mortgage Maze, available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. It's going to take more than a few pastors or evangelistic ministries or even zealous Christians to turn America back to God. Indeed, we have 280 million people living in America who are waiting on a person to tell them about God, and no one's telling them. And while 86% of the unchurched would like to believe there's a God, less than 1% of us are telling them about Him. And that's the reason we're in chaos. Our only hope for turning America's heart back to God is for the 35 million of us who know God to make the sharing of our faith massively personal with everyone we meet, from the face in the crowd to the clerk in the store to the operator on the phone. When the church decides to make the sharing of their faith massively personal, we'll turn America's heart back to God. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. For help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
After years of reading the same Luke 2 story of Christmas, do we get a little bored? We lose some of the awe we ought to have when discussing the greatest miracle in history. This Christmas, recapture that wonder with Dr. Darling's new book, The Characters of Christmas. Take a fresh look at the Christmas story by getting to know the minor characters that played a part in Jesus' birth. Break free from the familiar and learn something new with The Characters of Christmas at moodypublishers.com.
Retirement, what comes to mind? Yeah, that's right. But it may be that God has a greater purpose for your retirement than what you just imagined. In his book, An Uncommon Guide to Retirement, Jeff Hanen suggests that retirement needs to be viewed from both a biblical and practical perspective. Redefine this next season from self-actualization to self-surrender. Retire in a way that's God-honoring, purpose-filled, restful, and truly biblical. Get your copy of An Uncommon Guide to Retirement at moodypublishers.com.
If you'd like to consider a year-end donation to help this ministry stay on the air, we certainly would be blessed by that. Just visit moneywiselive.org and click the Donate tab at the top of the page. And thanks so much. Knoxville, Tennessee. Hello, Becky. What's your question?
Hi. Thank you for having me on.
Sure.
I'm just calling. My husband and I were discussing our options. We are completely debt-free except for our farm, and we owe right at $149,000 on it. We have a 401k with a little bit over $330,000 in it, and we also have another pension that he'll be receiving plus his Social Security. He's 10 years out from retirement, and we're just worried with everything that's going on in the world and the markets and how in debt our country is. Would it be wise to pay attend, you know, that penalty and fees and withdraw just enough to pay off our farm so that we would have no debt at all. Would that be wise to do with our money?
Yeah. Becky, I appreciate the question very much. When you said $300,000 plus in retirement, is that in a what type of account?
It's in a 401k.
401k. Okay. Well, you know, this year you can actually pull out up to $100,000 and not have the penalty as long as it is, in fact, COVID related. You would still obviously have tax due on all of it. You know, I'm as much as I like to be debt free, and certainly I think that's clearly affirmed in Scripture. It's not that borrowing is a sin, but we recognize it changes the relationship, right? God's word says, you know, your borrower is a slave to the lender. So clearly it's not a favorable relationship, and it's going to limit flexibility clearly as, you know, God directs you in this and the next season of life. So I think we want to be pursuing a life that ultimately has us completely debt-free, including our homes. Now, at the same time, unless you have a real conviction around that, you say, you know what, as you and your husband pray about it, you just absolutely feel a conviction that you're to be out of debt in full right now. Apart from that, I might try to continue to have this retirement account grow for the future and really try to sync up the payoff of the home and the farm, the $140,000, with that retirement date. So that would give you 10 years where out of current cash flow, if possible, which would mean you'd have to have some margin over and above your living expenses and the expected minimum payment, unless the term has it being paid off in 10 years. But if the term extends beyond 10 years on the mortgage, then you'd need to add whatever you needed to that payment every month to be able to have that paid off when you reach retirement. And then what that would do for you is give you the growth on that $300,000 between now and that time as an additional asset to supplement your income in retirement and put you in a position where your expenses are as low as possible, because at that point you've no longer have a mortgage payment that's completely paid off. Now, that brings us to the question that you started with, which is, given what we see around us, the pandemic, the debt, the U.S. national debt, all of these things, you know, should we be concerned about stock market investing? And I would say, you know, in my view, no. Again, every decade has its issues. Certainly, I think the debt levels in this country are higher clearly than I would want them to be. They've passed the annual gross domestic product. It is starting to get to a place where I think there needs to be real action taken, not just kicking the can down the road. And there needs to be solutions. But when our backs are against the wall in this country, we tend to get creative and come up with the solutions that are necessary. And I don't feel like we're on the brink of a debt crisis. I don't think as a result of the pandemic, we're going to see a major economic problem. In fact, we've weathered this storm quite well. And I think over the next 10 years, there's no reason to believe we're not going to see consistent performance like we have every other 10-year period for the last 100 years, where the stock market has been the very best place to be. Because all you have to do is outpace the interest rate on that mortgage for it to be at least financially a benefit to you, because you've got tax-deferred growth going on there. So if it were me, I'd let that money continue to grow and compound as long as the investment strategy is appropriate, and I would focus on syncing up the payoff on that mortgage to your husband's retirement date to keep your expenses as low as possible as you head into that new season of life.
Becky, thank you very much. We're going to quickly try to get in a couple more calls. Chicago, Tom, what's your situation, sir?
I took advantage of the withdrawing the $100,000 from my 401k when I changed jobs. I had to roll it over, so I decided to just use the money and invest it in the stock market. And it's already gained 7% in the last 3 months. So it's doing well. But my question was, should I roll all that back as a 401k before the end of the year, or just let it continue in the stock market where it's gaining and pay 20% of that money I withdrew out of the 401k as part of my taxes for the coming year?
Yeah, Tom, you know, I mean, what was wrong with the investments inside your 401k? Are you trying to pick some high-flying, you know, individual stocks? And trying to capitalize on some short-term moves in the market, or what is it you're doing outside of the 401k that you couldn't do inside?
Well, the 401k, I had to move out because I changed jobs. So that was part of the rollover. And when I rolled it over, it went into a less than 0.01% 401k in terms of interest.
Right, so but you can invest anything. In anything inside that 401k, or if you roll it out to an IRA, it still stays in a tax-deferred environment, and you really, through an IRA, wouldn't have, you know, really unlimited investment options, except you'd continue to enjoy the tax-deferred growth, whereas right now, not only are you going to have to pay tax on this money as it comes out, even though you'd miss the penalty, that's a pretty big tax bite. And if it's in a taxable account now, as you make gains along the way, those are also going to be taxable. So you're missing all the real benefit of the 401k. The reason that $100,000 provision was there during the pandemic was for people that lost jobs and were really just having trouble putting food on the table and keeping the bills paid. And so the government said, yeah, you can miss the penalty, pay the tax, pull out from your 401k to kind of meet your obligations. But it really isn't any benefit to you. In fact, there's a significant downside to you trying to invest outside of the 401k or an IRA that would allow you to do the same type of investing long term, but have tax deferred status. Here's the thing. You can put that money back in. Normally you'd have 60 days. With the CARES Act, you actually have 3 years to get that money back in there. But I'd do it sooner rather than later, because if you file a tax return and then you put the money back in after, you're going to have to file an amended return, because, you know, if that money's still outside of the 401k when you file for 2020, you're going to add that withdrawal to your taxable income of 100 grand, which is going to be a pretty steep tax bill. So if it were up to me, unless I'm missing something here, I'd get that money back in and then invest it in an investment strategy that's appropriate for your age and risk tolerance inside the now IRA instead of the 401k.
Tom, we hope that helps you. Thank you very much for calling us today. Steve, we are almost out of time. I'm sorry to say that, because my producer tells me that you've been trying to reach us since Larry Burkett was on this program. is that true, Steve? Is that true?
This is absolutely true. Every time I was listening and I come up with a thought for a question, I would call and I didn't get through for whatever reason. So I've been doing that since 1980.
1980.
Steve, I'm telling you what, I'm not going anywhere tonight. As soon as the show ends, I'm going to stay right here, and you and I are going to spend the next however long you want just chatting, okay?
Oh, my.
But let's try to get your question in. You go right ahead.
Okay. My actual question was, I'm hearing different stories about the biblical tithing, okay, that they say they can see the tithe. There's a group of people, all right, that believe this way. They see the tithe in the Old Testament, but not in the New. So they believe that the tithing is not biblical, okay? But my what I actually thought of at first was, you answered a question for a gentleman about taxing his Social Security. But when I started taking it by force, unfortunately, at 62, and that's another story, I had to only was allowed to make so much money. But once I hit 65, I talked to the IRS, and they said you can make as much money as you want, and there won't be any problems. So I'm a little confused as to the taxation on monies. If I was to make lots of money, so versus,
Well, a couple of thoughts. So there's a difference in a reduction in benefits and taxes due in terms of income taxes that need to be paid on Social Security earnings. So once you reach full retirement age, whatever that was for you, you can, you get your full benefit. It's not going to be reduced, and you can earn as much additional income as you want, and that'll have no effect on your benefits. What we were talking about earlier is if you then work and, you make a certain amount of money, when you get over a certain amount, your benefits are going to be taxable up to 50% in a certain range, and then up to 85% of your benefits you'll pay income tax on, but you won't see a reduction because you've not met an earnings test and you've earned too much money. So there's a difference between paying income tax on a portion of your benefits and a benefit reduction because you've made too much money. money. Unfortunately, we've got just a little bit of time. Let me just quickly mention on the tithe question, I think the model, even though we see references to the tithe in the New Testament, the model that Jesus sets for us is proportionate giving. And clearly, the local church is God's plan A. So this idea that we would give on the increase, proportionate to God's provision to us, I think is absolutely biblical, Old and New Testament. The question is, what is proportionate giving for us? And I think you need to ask the Lord what that is for you. I like the idea of giving systematically. I think a tithe, a tenth, is a good starting point. It's what Randy Alcorn, the author, calls the training wheels of giving. And I would say give to your local church first and then beyond that sacrificially. But hey, you stay on the line. We'll chat a bit off air.
Thank you, Steve. MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks for listening and for joining. I think Steve's case every 40 years for calling. Join us tomorrow.